You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Hey, Dad.
Hey, Laura, it's great to hear you. What are you up to today?
Well, it's been kind of just a normal day getting school stuff taken care of. And how's your day been?
It has been good. The difference between my day and your day is your day involved probably teaching your kids math, which is my worst subject. And my day has had nothing to do with math whatsoever. So I'm very grateful.
And the thing that you also know is I also am terrible at math. So it's about to get interesting, Dad, when the kids get a little older. Anyways, but you know, I know neither of us are math people, but we definitely love to read, which actually that was going to be my opening question to you. What was the last, like, and maybe like kind of a light book, because I know we're going to talk about like a spiritual author in just a minute. What was the last good, fun summer book you read?
Oh my. Well, I've been rereading, and some of them reading for new, some of the Agatha Christie British mystery books. Mm-hmm. So I've been reading through some of her Poirot series, and that's been good. And they've been interesting. So I think that would be the last ones I've read that were more or less for fun. And they're always just enjoyable and, you know, it takes you back to a day and time in England that was very different than now, and I love mysteries, so that's been good.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, good. Yeah. Well, today, Dad, we're doing our second in the series on books, people, and passages that have shaped your life. And mm-hmm. I believe that I've heard that the person we're talking about today is a Christian leader that you initially had some reservations about, right? Tell us more.
Well, yes, our person of the day is John Piper. And John is has been a great guide for me. I don't know him personally. I'm sure he knows nothing about me. But it was interesting. I began to learn about John Piper and his writings in the probably early 1990s. And he had written a book called Desiring God. And it was basically on what he called Christian hedonism. And as soon as I heard that, I was just like, this is at least highly suspect. There's no way that you can put the word Christian and hedonism together.
Right.
And so then I finally got Desiring God and started reading it. And I was just like, I can't understand this at all. And then as he was talking about the, you know, his idea is that God is most glorified in us when we're most satisfied in him, I just couldn't quite get that. And one is it just seemed kind of me-centered, like how did I really fit into that? Mm-hmm. So I didn't quite get that for some reason. And then why did he have to call it hedonism? I'm just like, that's immediately, like, I just can't put those together. So I just thought, I'm never going to read this book through and just forget about it. So then I start mentoring one of those bright young Dukies, you know, those Duke students that I used to mentor. And of course, the first thing he wants us to do is read through Desiring God. And I'm like, I just don't think I can do this. And so we lumbered through it, and honestly, even then, I was just like, I still am not quite sure that I've gotten this idea of Christian hedonism. Mm-hmm. So it took me a long time, you could say, to warm up to John Piper, but it was really more for my thinking to open up to allow his thinking and really his biblical perspective to enter into my brain. And I would say now he's of the living authors that there are. He has been one of the most impactful writers in my life, certainly. Mm-hmm.
Man, that's cool. Yeah, one, I do feel like also his style of writing, like I remember the first thing I was exposed to that he wrote was a book about heaven. And basically one of the big premises was, if you got to heaven and it was just God and you were disappointed, like, are you even a Christian? Or like something yes. like I might be saying that a little bit extreme, yeah. but I heard that and I was like, okay, well, you know, like he really doesn't pull any punches, which can, I don't know. I feel like I kind of bristled at him at first, but so I'm excited to hear more about, like, I, like you, have more recently really enjoyed him, but I don't know that much about him. So I'm looking forward to hearing more from you. So give us an overview of John Piper's life and ministry.
Well, he was born in January 1946, I believe in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I think he was raised in Greenville, South Carolina, which was only about an hour, a little more from where I was raised, though he is older than me, 75 years old. He went to Wheaton College, Fuller Theological, and then University of Munich, where he got a PhD, I believe, in New Testament theology. He was the long-term pastor at Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and then they started a college and seminary. He has retired from that position, is no longer the pastor at Bethlehem, though he is still, I believe, the chancellor of the college and seminary. And he's written or contributed to, I think, significantly over 50 books. So quite a prolific writer, and married to Noel, and has, I think, 4 children. So that's a little bit about him as a man. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, okay, so let's pick back up. So you're mentoring this Duke student. He wants to read Desiring God. Okay, so you picked it back up. So since then, what have you learned from John Piper, and how has it shaped your life?
Yeah. Well, I thought it would be best today and serve our listeners a lot better if instead of me sort of restating Piper, we just read several quotes from John Piper from different books that have really been helpful to me, and that hopefully will be helpful for our leaders. The first one comes from a reflection he wrote on Psalm 69:30, and that psalm, the second part of that psalm, says, "I will magnify him," that means I will magnify God, "with thanksgiving." And so he wrote of that psalm, he said, "The whole duty of the Christian can be summed up in this: feel, think, and act in a way that will make God look as great as he really is. Be a telescope for the world of the infinite starry wealth of the glory of God." Now, just right off, that just stretches me. Like, you know, to start out, the whole duty of the Christian. I'm like, gosh, that's a broad statement, you know. But Piper really meant it. He wasn't just like enraptured in the moment, and you know, 2 weeks later he would say the whole duty of the Christian is something else. He really meant this is the whole duty of the Christian, and it is to feel, to think, and to act in a way that will make God look as great as he really is. And this whole notion of I need to choose how I feel, I need to choose how I think, I need to choose how I act, and I need to choose it in a way that makes God look as great as he really is. So it's not like puffing God up into something he isn't. It's more that my feelings, my thoughts, my actions reflect the immensity and goodness of who God is.
Wow.
And then be a telescope for the world, you know, something that just makes it visible to the world, the infinite starry wealth. And again, there's a real poetic side to John Piper, and he's written lots of poetry, and he's really into the whole idea of beauty from a Christian perspective. So the infinite starry wealth of the glory of God. And true to Piper, that quote ends with glory of God. You know, I've said through the years, John Piper could write a cookbook and somehow it would still be about the glory of God. It's just like the only thing he knows how to write about in essence, is the glory of God, because he knows and believes biblically that that is the core thing, the glory and honor of God. So there's one. And then this one is from his book, Let the Nations Be Glad. In fact, I think it's maybe the opening sentence, and this is a book he wrote on missions, Christian missions. He says, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. And again, it's interesting, like that first quote, the whole duty of the Christian, and here he's talking about the ultimate goal. He tends to talk about large things.
Yeah.
So the ultimate goal of the church isn't missions. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. What he means there is there's all kinds of places in the world where people aren't worshiping God. Mm-hmm. And so the reason for missions is so that there will be more and more people worshiping God. And this ties right back to his view on the glory of God being the prime thing. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions. Because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over, and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. It is a temporary necessity, but worship abides forever. So this has been a great kind of prioritizer to me. You know, missions, evangelism, discipleship, disciple making, they are all important. But the thing that's even more important, and the thing that those things must feed into, is the worship of God, the glory of God in all things. Then we're going to go to another one. And this, of the ones I'm going to read today, this one is probably my favorite. He says, the mercy and the sovereignty of God are the twin pillars of my life. They are the hope of my future, the energy of my service, the center of my theology, the bond of my marriage, the best medicine in all my sicknesses, and he is a cancer survivor, the remedy of all my discouragements. Again, what he's talking about here is the mercy and sovereignty of God. And then he says, and when I come to die, whether sooner or later, these two truths will stand by my bed, and with infinitely strong and infinitely tender hands, lift me up to God.
Wow.
And I like that because another theme of Piper is the whole idea of sovereignty and providence. In fact, I think we'll talk a little later today. His most recent book is on providence. But that as he, again, he's thought it all through, and he would say, okay, here are the twin pillars of my life. It is God's mercy to me and God's sovereignty around me. And my life and my heart just identifies with that. I'm no John Piper. I'm not nearly as wise or godly as John Piper is. But I can say the same. It is the mercy of God and the sovereignty of God that upholds me in everything I do.
It's beautiful.
Then the last one is delightful. And it is classic John Piper. He did a series of biographical sermons that I think we'll talk about in a few minutes. And he did one on the life of Charles Simeon, who was a pastor in England. And in the introduction to the sermon, he writes about why he thinks studying the lives of Christians who have gone before us, why that's important for us. So he's going to be explaining why that's important, and especially why it's important for us today with some of our weaknesses. So a little bit of a longer quote, but he says, what I have found, and this is what I want to be true for you as well, is that in my pastoral disappointments and discouragements, there is a great power for perseverance in keeping before me the life of a man who surmounted greater obstacles in obedience to God's call by the power of God's grace. So he's saying when when life and ministry really get hard, something that cheers me on is the life of someone who's gone through it and maybe gone through even more than I have and remained faithful. He says, I need very much this inspiration from another age because I know that I am, in great measure, a child of my times. And one of the pervasive marks of our times is emotional fragility. And boy, I completely agree with that. Mm-hmm. I feel it as though it hung in the air we breathe. We are easily hurt. We pout and mope easily. We break easily. Our marriages break easily. Our faith breaks easily. Our happiness breaks easily. And our commitment to the church breaks easily. Boy, is that the truth. We are easily disheartened, and it seems we have little capacity for surviving and thriving in the face of criticism and opposition. And then he says, we need help here. When you are surrounded by a society of emotionally fragile quitters, which he said that we are, a society of emotionally fragile quitters, and when you see a good bit of this ethos in yourself, you need to spend time with people, whether dead or alive, whose lives prove there is another way to live. Scripture says, be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So I want to hold up for you the faith and the patience of Charles Simeon for your inspiration and imitation. And when I read that recently, I thought, boy, is that so true. Just you know, when dissonance comes, when disappointment or hurt comes, we either just lash out or just give up. And it's so good to read of saints that have gone before us who remained faithful, though they were still imperfect and still had lots of challenges, but who remained faithful and who have left for us a testimony and an example to follow. And I would imagine, you know, one day when John Piper has gone on to be with the Lord, there will be people who will say that of him, how his life, his ministry, his example have cheered them on during the challenges and periods of their life.
Thanks for sharing those quotes. They're both like really beautifully written. Like, he's a great writer, but also, yeah, there's just so much depth to those. So thanks so much for sharing them. And you kind of referenced Charles Simeon as an example of a pastor or maybe a missionary who had encouraged Piper. I know that Piper's biographical sermons have also had a big impact on you. So I guess tell us a little bit more about that. How is that so?
I would say of all the things that I've been exposed to from John Piper, his sermons and his poetry, his blogs, his Bible teaching, his zillions of books, everything, the thing that has encouraged me most are a collection of biographical sermons that he did. He did this during the period of time when he was, he hosted every year a pastor's conference. And his whole, I think, purpose in the conference was just to biblically encourage the people who attended it. And so I think true to that quote that I just read, he concluded that one of the ways he could best encourage them was basically to tell them the story of someone who had gone on before. And so, you know, he did C.S. Lewis, he did Augustine, he did Charles Spurgeon, J. Gresham Machum, you know, just a bunch of Christians from different eras from whom we can learn. And those have been just a great encouragement to me. In fact, I would say the one on Charles Simeon, which was called Brothers, We Must Not Mind a Little Suffering, that one, and then the one he did on C.S. Lewis was very interesting, because the first part of C.S. Lewis, he basically talks about all the things that he disagrees with C.S. Lewis on and why it's highly unlikely that he would be doing a sermon on the life of C.S. Lewis. But then he gets into all that he gained from Lewis, especially in terms of the whole idea of longings, and that unsatisfied longings are one of the great blessings of the Christian life and really point us to heaven. Those two especially have been very helpful, because I think with those, they give a real life, and he does such a good job of having researched their lives and then distilling it into, you know, maybe a 5 or 6 page document, or, you know, maybe a 30-minute, 45-minute talk on their life. So those are good. And if listeners are interested, the website is desiringgod.org, and all of John Piper's speaking is there for free. It's amazing.
That's neat. And actually, you surprised me. I had not realized, I mean, I guess with all of the books that he's written, and, you know, I mean, he's written so much and is so prolific, I had no idea that his biographies were the thing that had most impacted you. That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. So I know that you and Adam, my husband, are both reading Piper's latest book, Providence, at a snail's pace. I mean,
yes.
It is rather thick. So if our listeners wanted to begin reading Piper's books, I guess, would you direct them that they start with Providence? Or if not, where should they start?
Well, Providence, it's, I think, at least 700 pages. I don't know how long it is, but it is like long. And honestly, I guess jokingly said, I don't know if I'll live long enough to finish this book, because it is certainly not one that you can read through quickly. It is.
Why?
Piper is by training and by practice a theologian.
Yeah.
And this is a very thoughtful, extraordinarily biblical, basically, explanation of the intentionality of God's sovereignty. Like, that's one of the ways he defines providence, is providence is getting at what is the intention of God's sovereign actions. Hmm. And of course, if you know Piper, you can guess what the answer is, and that is God's glory, that we see the amazing grace in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it should bring us to praise and worship and glorify God. And it is quite an amazing book. In fact, I was just thinking about it either today or yesterday when I was reading from it. It's, again, it's like 700 pages, maybe more than that. And again, you know, he is in his own right a scholar. He has a PhD and you know, the whole thing. But he doesn't quote people very much in it. But scripture is just like every page is just filled with scripture. Mm-hmm. I think it's for more of a theological kind of heavyweight kind of book, I think it's one of the most biblical ones I've ever read, meaning draws on every page from scripture passages. And again, I think that's one of the things I appreciate about Piper, is he's that much a student of God's word. Mm-hmm. You know, to where 700 pages in, and he's still just writing basically from the word of God what he's saying. Now, as to whether this is the one you should start with or not, I would think that if you're not real into long books that are pretty heavy, then maybe you want to stay away from this one for a while.
Yeah.
And even if you're, you know, if you're really into theology, if you've been trained in theology or whatever, I think that you would want to read this book when your heart was really longing to understand the message and you weren't just trying to stuff your mind with Piper's thoughts. Mm-hmm. Because this is a book to change your heart. It's not just a book to stuff your mind. And that's one of the reasons why I think Adam that we're reading it slowly.
Yeah.
As we're really trying to just absorb what all he's talking about in terms of the intentional sovereignty of God and all things. So, you know, if someone were asked, so where would I start with Piper? I would go to desiringgod.org and maybe just listen to some of the sermons or read. You can read some of the sermons. You know, if you're interested, say, in the book of Romans, then go to all of his sermons on Romans and just listen to them one by one.
Yeah.
And also, all of the biographical sermons are on desiringgod.org. You know, I've read some number of his books, and I appreciate the books, but really the handiest tool and the easiest tool for me to use is the desiringgod.org website, and going for specific things I'm looking for, searching for specific things I'm looking for, and finding them there. If someone were to push me, okay, well, but if you've just got to recommend one book, I think the book I would recommend, I think this is one you referenced earlier about heaven, is the book called God is the Gospel. And that was a really great book for me to read. And, you know, with the Leadership Edge Life Vision Statement that is, you know, by God's grace to step forward as God's man or woman in my spheres of influence to serve his purposes for his glory. When I originally wrote that, it didn't end with for his glory.
And
until I read God is the Gospel, and about halfway through that book, I was like, that vision statement has to be that the ultimate purpose is for the glory of God. I just knew that that was right. And so it was while I was reading God is the Gospel that came to me. So that would be my recommendation for people who want to begin to access some of John Piper.
That's really cool. I actually did not know that about that last phrase. But, you know, it's interesting. I have only, you know this, like over maybe the past 2 or 3 years, because of you and Adam and how much you guys have been shaped by him, I've started reading him more. But yeah, I think that like a couple of things that I have really taken from him are, one, I think the thing about God's glory has really opened my eyes to, like, as a person who, and I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, but can tend to really seek glory from other people, of like wanting to be like made much of, or what do people think about me? And it's like been, I think it's proven to be so true, and it's just like so eye-opening to me. That what Piper would say is God made us all to be glory seekers, but the only way we'll ever be satisfied is in seeing God's glory and like delighting in that. And so it's like it's been so helpful and kind of beginning at least to transform my thinking of, it's not bad to, you know, like God created this desire for glory. It's just not mine. And I'll never be satisfied if I'm seeking to, for me to be the one made much of. The joy is in like those moments and asking God to give me more of a heart and eyes to see, you know, and delight in his glory, which is just kind of I don't know, that has been really I don't know, transformational for me, I guess. So Dad, any final thoughts for you on how God has used John Piper to shape you?
Well, I think my thought is just to say thank you to John Piper and to God for the ministry that has been through the life of John Piper. And to say the whole idea of Christian hedonism, that God is most glorified in us when we're most satisfied in him, is absolutely right. And finally, I have been able to come to see that. I think a real point in my own growth as a Christian was when I finally concluded, on the parts that I disagree with John Piper, I'm willing to say he's probably right. So yeah. I'm not there yet, but probably he's right. So no, just thanks to God and to John Piper for the life and ministry. And also thanks to our listeners. We appreciate you always being a part of these podcasts. We hope they're of encouragement to you. At Leadership Edge, again, we're about developing leaders, both for now and the future, who by God's grace step forward as God's man or woman in their spheres of influence to serve His purposes, and here we go, for His glory. So if you want to learn more about Leadership Edge, you can go to our website, www.lead-edge.com, and learn everything you need to learn from there.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Dad.
Oh, thank you, Laura. We'll see you.
Thanks, listeners, for joining us.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.